Hi, welcome to Colonial Williamsburg, past and present. The stuff is new and you won't hear it anyplace else. What we want to take you is behind the scenes and let you meet the people who work here. That's my job. I'm Lloyd Dobbins and mostly I ask questions. This time I'm asking Rose McAfee at Colonial Williamsburg, where she's a training specialist for the Department of Interpretive Training, which means what?
Well, which means that I help to train the interpreters who come here to Colonial Williamsburg to teach our guests about the colonial life in the third quarter of the 18th century. So I get to come in contact with the new interpreters as they're just coming in the door and give them what we call Introduction to Interpretive Training, a 10-day course that they take before they even talk to the public. And then I also get to see the more seasoned interpreters when we do our what we call core curriculum, which is centered around the Becoming Americans theme. Becoming Americans, our struggle to be both free and equal, is the main interpretive theme at Colonial Williamsburg. And we base all of our programs, our training, and all of our interpretation around that Becoming Americans theme.
Mm-hmm. Did you have to be an interpreter before you were a trainer?
I didn't have to be, but I actually was. And I think that helped somewhat because I've kind of had an idea of what the interpretive experience is. Mm-hmm. And there I could bring that knowledge to the training. A number of my colleagues were also interpreters, but there were a few that have come straight in to work with us who were in teaching in universities and junior colleges, high schools, and things like that as well.
This is a question you probably can't answer simply, but do interpreters tend to be young?
Well, actually, with Colonial Williamsburg, we get all across the board. We get a lot of young people that are coming particularly fresh out of college, like William & Mary and places like that. But we also get a lot of people who are retired who say, you know, I came here with my kids, or I honeymooned here, or I, you know, came on a vacation. I always loved it. And I said, when I retire, I'm going back to Colonial Williamsburg. And that's really nice because there we get experiences of people who have been former principals. We had one young man who was a chemical engineer and had retired from that job, and he said, I want to do something totally different. And we said, this is definitely totally different. But so we got a wide range of folks. We get some teachers, former teachers, some who come and work for us just in the summer or, you know, do part-time work with us. We have a wide, wide range of folks who come to work here.
Who makes the best interpreter? Is there a rule?
I would think the best interpreter would be people who like people. Because you can always learn the history, and that's where we come in. We help to teach you the history and get you comfortable with presenting it and talking in front of people. But you really have to love people and love history, and then you've got to have to battle one, I think.
Mm-hmm. When people come here and they talk to interpreters, basically, what do they want to know?
Oh, my goodness. They want to know what life was like in this area in the colonial time period. They want to know where would they have fit in, what station in life or what area would they have been in. They're very interested in the trades and how those things work, you know, how you make a silver bowl, what do the blacksmiths do, what do the cabinet makers do. They're also interested in our character interpretation and people who actually portray people of the past. They really find that fascinating because it's like they're also stepping back into time. And I think others are attracted to just the outdoor, you know, history atmosphere. It's beautiful. It's an actual town recreated in this 18th century setting. The people are friendly. But most often they really come just to learn the history. Mm-hmm. And see what life was like, where this, you know, America started, if you will.
Do you ever go out on the street and just walk around and listen to the interpreters?
I sure do. Yeah, I sure do. Not as much as I would like to, but yeah, we do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just helping them get it right, or?
Well, that and, again, getting a feel for the types of things that they need out in the field, because mm-hmm. that changes from season to season. When it's hot and sticky, there are different challenges than when it's very cold or rainy. When we have school groups, this is our school group season, which we're really mm-hmm. excited about because our school group visitation is really growing. You know, how to make sure that they have the amenities that they need. They can get into the restrooms and get into the restaurants and taverns and things like that. But mainly just to see how we can help them transfer the knowledge they get in the training courses to making a great guest experience.
Do you ever get the interpreters asking you how should they answer a specific question that they've never heard before?
Yes, in fact. As a matter of fact, I'm doing a project now on we polled our interpreters back in December and again in March to ask them, have you had situations, sensitive issues, controversial interactions with guests that you need some help in how to deal with? And we got very, very good response. And from that, we're making a little booklet that mm-hmm. will give them some ideas on how to address certain things that may come out of the blue that we don't necessarily teach in training. And it also gives us ideas of what type of training we can develop.
What sort of thing would it be? Give me an example.
For instance, people, some of our interpreters, some of our guests are really not sure, for instance, when they see a female working in the trades. They say, well, women would have been at home taking care of the kids and things of that nature. And so we're helping our interpreters to craft an answer to that that would tell our guest, yes, most women did indeed take care of the children. That was the woman's role in the 18th century. But we have evidences of people like Christiana Campbell, who ran a tavern, Jane Vogue, who also ran a tavern, the Hunter sisters, who were milliners. So we can really point to working women, Clementina Ryan, who took over the Virginia Gazette when her husband died. So we can say typically you would not see a woman in trades, but it's not unheard of. And we're trying to represent the 18th century as opposed to recreating it. So those are the types of advice that we can give our interpreters on how to address that that question.
So you can actually name names of women who did that.
Exactly.
In those years.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I knew about the sisters who were milliners, but
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
tavern owner you don't expect.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one to remember.
Mm-hmm.
18th century tavern owner.
That's right.
Do people ever just get tired of it? They just don't want to do it anymore?
You mean guests or interpreters?
Interpreters.
I – not so much again, it all depends on if you come in the door with that love of people and that love of history, you always find something to re-energize you. Some folks, you know, get into it and realize it's not really for them either there, because you do have to be able to stand for long periods of time, and you have to be able to work in all types of weather, and you have to be able to work around dust and mold, because the buildings, I mean, some of the buildings are original, so they're over 200 years old. So there are some people who have challenges like that, mm-hmm. that you know, limit their ability to really get the full experience of an interpreter here.
I know. I would never have thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to be able to stand
That's
for
right.
hours.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't do that.
It's hard for some people. Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been questioned by a guest who did not believe that the interpretation he or she was being given was an accurate one?
Oh, yes. Yes, sometimes, because we do have a lot of misconceptions about history. And so, yeah, there are sometimes when people are not sure, for instance, about the women in the trades
yeah.
or about in our trades we do use rare resources as they would have in the 18th century. And some folks, you know, are a little, you know, uncomfortable with that. Some are not quite sure when we talk about the issue of slavery, because our main images are 19th century. Mm-hmm. When we talk about the 18th century and the differences, sometimes they couldn't read or write. Well, that wasn't until 1832 in Virginia. You know, so in the colonial time period, there were some slaves and free blacks, you know, who could read and write. So there's some things like that. But once we try to give our interpreters that knowledge, just like the names of those women who were actually in trades, to give them actual people, actual incidents, actual 18th century documents that they can show to the visitor and say, you know, in essence, don't just take my word for it. Here's some 18th century people who have said something similar. They wouldn't say exactly those words, but something to effect of, well, let me show you what William Byrd said about this very subject, or let me show you what Philip Fithian, who was a tutor, said about that very subject. So that's very helpful for the guests. And the interpreters. And sometimes you have some folks who, you know, believe what they believe, and it's very difficult to change that belief, and you just agree to disagree and continue to have a good learning experience.
About how long does it take before you think that maybe you ought to pull somebody back in and give her some or him some retraining? Is there some sort of standard time?
We don't really have a standard time, but in that first introduction to interpretive training I was telling you about, mm-hmm. they have to clear at the end of that 10-day training, which means they have to stand up and actually give an interpretation. Mm-hmm. And so we can tell right then if there's some people who may need a little bit more help in presentation skills or a little bit more help in the knowledge, and we pass that on to their supervisors, and then we work with the supervisors to get them the information that they need.
Last question, I think. How long do you know, generally speaking, will an interpreter stay with you?
Wow. I would say about 5 to 10 years.
Really?
You know,
that
I would
long.
Say, yeah. We usually, you know, when folks come and they get in their niche, you know, they really, really enjoy it. Matter of fact, that I came here looking for a summer job 20 years ago, and this is my 20th year, you know. And so I just got so fascinated and so impressed by all the things that Colonial Williamsburg has to offer, both behind the scenes and to the guests, and the learning package, the way I was trained, the library facilities, educational facilities. And I stayed. And I always wanted to teach, and so now I'm teaching in a different type of setting.
That's Colonial Williamsburg, past and present. Check www.history.org often. We'll post more for you to download and hear.